Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
What costs money? It's the bandwidth, basically.
This is our website.
I'm Valentina Powers. I'm an interactive producer. During breaking news stories is when most people log into our streams online.
Now let's take a look.
The more requests we get, the more we have to pay.
Help us to be there for you when you need us the most. Support podcasts by becoming a member now. Pledge online at WNYC.org.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, I'm Sarah Fischko. And these are the Fischko Files. Each week, I put together a personal essay on music, art, culture, and media. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. So please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC podcasts are supported by Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, providing comprehensive centers in cardiovascular services, interventional radiology, and cancer care. More information at www.holyname.org.
The list of people, famous people, that is, born in 1904, 100 years ago, is interesting. Marlene Dietrich, for example, and Graham Greene, George Balanchine, and Dr. Seuss, and actress-dancer Doris Eaton. Among those, Doris Eaton is still with us, very much so. She's just completed a book about her life as a child star and later a singer-dancer on Broadway, along with her numerous brothers and sisters. When they were kids, the seven little Eatons were well-known among theatrical managers, who were known to say,
"If you need a child, don't go around dealing with a lot of different mothers. Just get in touch with Mrs. Eaton, because she's got them all sizes and sexes. And you can put pants on the girls and dresses on the boys." So that's the way they use the family.
But Doris's real break came in June of 1918, when her sister found her way to the biggest job on Broadway.
Pearl got with the Ziegfeld Follies.
The Follies was where any singer-dancer with ambition wanted to work. Sitting in on one of her sister's rehearsals one day, 14-year-old Doris was spotted by the Follies director.
During a break, Mr. Wayburn kept looking at me, and finally he said to Pearl, he says, "Who is this?" He says, "Can she dance?" Pearl said, "Yes, she can dance." He says, "Well, I'm looking for an understudy, so I'd like to have Doris do that." So I was in the Ziegfeld Follies.
The Ziegfeld Follies, if you don't know, was a huge, extravagant revue. Not vaudeville, exactly, but not exactly theater, either.
They had big chorus numbers, elaborate, with beautiful costumes, showgirls and dancers. And the dancers, I was one of the dancers, which they call the hoofers. The beautiful girls just walked around, never got out of breath, but we hoofers, we really had to work.
Stars like Eddie Cantor were big in the Follies.
"He's not so good in the crowd, but when you get him alone, you'd be surprised."
W.C. Fields, who was a juggler primarily, but he also worked into the skits and became a very famous comedian.
Fanny Bryce was a star in the Follies, too. And there were some Follies that were real highlights.
The 1919 Follies, to me, was the signature Follies of all Follies. In that show, there was this lovely old soft shoe number called Mandy.
"Mandy, there's a minister handy, and a shoe would be dandy."
And then the beautiful number that John Steele sang, "A Pretty Girl Is Like a Melody." When you sing that number, you think of one thing, Ziegfeld Follies girls. I just loved being in the show.
For a time, the Eatons were right in the thick of Broadway life.
Mary started inviting some of the actors and actresses. That just became the thing to do on Sunday afternoon, as all the Broadway folks would gather at Mary's place. We had people like Bea Lilly, Clifton Webb, W.C. Fields would come up.
And it wasn't just actors.
The Warner Brothers had an apartment on the roof. And they came down one time and asked Muri if they could come down and join the party. So she said, any time at all. Oscar Levant was there with Gershwin. They became very good friends. And they used to sit at the piano and play their marvelous music for everybody. And even Lindbergh showed up there one afternoon. They were just unusual times, but beautiful times.
Doris Eden, who will celebrate her 100th birthday in March, remembers when Prohibition transformed New York.
The great, big, beautiful restaurants began to disappear, and these little nightclubs developed because they could hide the liquor. And these smaller restaurants would have floor shows. My sister Pearl worked in several of them. So it changed nightlife considerably.
And she remembers the Great Depression, which effectively ended the successful Broadway run of the Eaton family. The sisters and brothers went their separate ways.
That show business. It's wonderful, beautiful when you're in it. But the years pass by, and the New York producers want new faces all the time. And they go for the new faces.
She tried Hollywood for a while and didn't do badly. She opened the Hollywood Music Box Theater in a show by Arthur Freed and Nacio Herb Brown.
And one of the numbers that they wrote for me was Singing in the Rain. So I really was the first one to introduce Singing in the Rain, and I've got that in black and white.
But by the mid-30s, the work had dried up.
In 1936, I could not get a job in show business. I was down and out. My rent was due, and I made up my mind that I was going to get a job somewhere. I was not going to live this life of going around to agents and with 15 other people there with the same job, not being chosen, which made you feel like you're not worth anything. And it was just so depressing. I said, I got to get out of it.
And she did. She found out about an opening at the Arthur Murray Dance Studios, a popular place to learn tap and ballroom dancing. She began as a tap teacher, but in no time flat, she and a partner had the Arthur Murray franchise for the whole state of Michigan, with a weekly dance instruction TV show to go along with it. And that is how she spent the next few decades. That, and getting her college degree finally at age 88, and writing her book, just published. Now that she's written about her own life, she's thinking about a second book.
I do have some other ideas.
On the history she's seen and lived through over the years.
Because I lived the 20th century. I was born in 1904, and here it is 2004. So I lived through all of those changes.
That's a book I'd like to read. Doris Eaton's current book, The Days We Danced, is distributed by University of Oklahoma Press. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko. Thanks for listening to The Fischko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners. Please help support this free service by becoming a member today at WNYC.org. See you next week for another installment of The Fischko Files from WNYC, New York Public Radio.